99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 a.m. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back in 2 weeks at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And it is time for Back of the Book. Good program. Stay tuned.
Got to realize da 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 da. Where is it stay?
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm thinking that it's about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Freaking Fag Revolutionary Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear. And a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program. You can find out a little bit more about all of that by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. It will say at the top of that, latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you will be brought to the web page for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 181st pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in several different multiverses of this week is... We are still holding at the humongous total of 124 followers on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, July 10th, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We did not have a meeting this past Wednesday night. There was an illegally called meeting of the WBAI local station board that was posted online. The chair of the Pacifica National Board had posted it. This is in violation of the Pacifica bylaws. So the illegal meeting ended up never happening. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has their website, the CDC website. And as far as I can tell, because they don't say it so directly, I have to figure it out a little bit. The CDC website is saying that the death toll in America for this past week from COVID-19 was 187, which is a bit of an uptick from the previous week, but it's still much lower than it had been. Summertime weather tends to keep most viruses from proliferating through the air, at least. Pickles of the North and I are not wearing our masks as much at this point. We are thinking about getting our booster shots, however. You can't get the new ones that they'll have in the fall if you've had one of these boosters less than a few months earlier. So we may end up waiting for the new booster vaccinations to come out in the fall to get one and just figure that, hey, the summer weather will keep us from getting it. We'll cross our fingers. And a fast program note, I know that there are at least maybe a couple of younger people listening to the program and people who may never have heard us do one of these Christopher Street Liberation Day programs before. So, when we start out saying freaking fag revolutionary radio, this is a quote from the trial of the Chicago 7. I believe the trial was in 1969, and the prosecutors were so frustrated by these guys, and there was a Democratic National Convention that year, and the convention was a horrible mess, and there were riots and people getting shoved by police, more than shoved. Walter Cronkite getting shoved by police. Oh, that was a mistake. And so they had the trial, and they had, you know, people like Abby Hoffman and all of them, and they were put it on trial, and the prosecutor at one point got so frustrated, he referred to the 7 defendants. There had been 8, but Bobby Seale got separated out from them. The 7 defendants were referred to by the prosecutor as, quote, a bunch of freaking fag revolutionaries, unquote. Of course, those of us in the gay liberation movement in 1970, and from what I know, also people in 1969 took that, and we started saying, yeah, we are freaking fag revolutionaries, bleep you. And so we had that, and I have used that as the cold opening for every back-of-the-book radio program that is held on this date. Yes, this is our annual Christopher Street Liberation Day program, also known as the Pride program or the LGBT plus infinity Pride program. And we do one of these every year, and this is that one for 2024. As we've mentioned, we have to record this program. We record it on Friday, and it's aired on Saturday morning. So if you're listening to it on the air, it's Saturday morning. We hope this gets in the air. And so it's Saturday morning, and we have something for you to wave to. Yes, wave hello to Asteroid 2024 MK. At some point today, that asteroid will come within about 181,000 miles of the Earth. That sounds like a gigantic distance, but in terms of cosmic stuff, it isn't. It's real damn close. In fact, it's significantly closer than the moon is, and oh boy, this is quite close. Also of significance is the fact that 2024 MK is somewhere between 400 feet and 850 feet long. That's a pretty big asteroid to get close to us. Somewhat disturbing is it was only found 10 or 12 days ago. It's big. 2024 MK is estimated to have had an equivalent impact energy approaching a gigaton if it were to impact the Earth. It could wipe out not just a city, but an entire area, although it would not destroy the world. It wouldn't be as big a thing as the asteroid that wiped out most of the dinosaurs 64, 65 million years ago, but it would be quite something. One of the estimates is if it were to hit on the East Coast, it would wipe out the East Coast. So it would really do a lot. For instance, the object that blew up over Chelyabinsk, Russia in 2013 caused lots of damage, loads of injuries to people, and that was only about 60 feet across. So that was about 60 feet, and it exploded in the air. That was probably maybe cometary. That happens with a lot of these things that come in. They're not that big, but they're pretty big, and they come in, and there's a lot of friction, and they're heated up as they're impacting the atmosphere. Some of these things hit the atmosphere between 40,000 and 100,000 miles an hour. Very fast speeds. And so they hit the atmosphere, and they don't blow up instantly, but they start having a lot of friction, and they're heated tremendously in within a second or two, and then they do explode. And those are called bolides. So the one over Chelyabinsk did that. It hit the atmosphere for some seconds, heated up, and exploded, and did a great deal of damage. If this thing were to hit us, it would cause gigantic damage, much more, although it's not going to hit us, so we don't have to worry about that. But we do have to say, oh, geez, we kind of dodged one.
It's a big, big sky. You can't find everything quickly, although they do. They do. Scientists are always looking in the skies, looking for these objects. I think 1,000 people were hurt.
I think it was 1,500.
Oh, really? It was a lot.
It was a lot of people got hurt by stuff, mostly stuff being destroyed. There was a shockwave.
Yes.
That came down, and that was the thing that really messed up everybody. It broke, like, every window in the city and in surrounding areas, and it knocked a lot of stuff over, and it was just luck that nobody was killed, but a great many people were injured, mostly by flying debris from various things that had been impacted by the shockwave. So that was big. It made the news. If 2024 MK had hit us, oh boy. So, wave to it as it passes. I don't know what time it's going by. Oh, wait, is that it? Here it comes. Ah! Oh, whoosh. Oh, there it goes. Oh man, that was close. Only 181,000 miles away. Just by coincidence, June 30th isn't just Christopher Street Liberation Day / Pride Day. June 30th is also Asteroid Day. So, tomorrow, remember not just the Stonewall, but remember asteroids. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. So on Thursday night, there was a debate. Biden didn't do too well. Trump is being hailed as the winner of the debate. Depends on how you look at it. You know, Biden did not perform well, but Trump was lying like crazy all through it. And does performative stuff really count for being president? I mean, this is like saying, why don't they have a wrestling match, and whoever pins the other guy 2 out of 3 times wins. You know, try that. I could see what would happen with Biden. I could see where he would get overwhelmed by trying to think fast about how to reply to the lies, because they're so off the wall and crazy and flat out lies. You know, it's flabbergasting. The guy says, we had the best economy in the world and everything was better then. And he's saying, and several other lies. And you can see Biden standing there and saying, you know, processing this and trying to figure out how in 30 or 90 seconds to respond to all of those lies and throw in some truth.
And Trump has been repeating this stuff for the past for years, so he doesn't even have to think about what he's saying.
Yeah, he's just saying the same lies. It's much easier to lie, especially when you've been practicing it for so long. It's easier to lie than to try and counter that. What's Biden supposed to do? Say nothing? Not say he's lying? Not try to refute any of it? So, yeah, I could see why he was at one point they're going, unable to really move on because the clock is ticking. This is like playing chess.
Yeah, and you're playing chess with a malignant narcissist.
Yes.
So
when you're playing chess, you have a tournament chess, you have a clock, and you have to make moves. And there's also a thing called speed chess where you have like 5 minutes for an entire game. You make your move, you hit the clock. Now it's the other guy's turn. The other guy makes his move, hits the clock. Now it's your turn. Your clock is ticking. And I know what it's like to have to try and make a decision and think, well, the clock is ticking. Biden knows the clock is ticking, and he has this very complicated thing to try to deal with. Trump just tells his lies about how he aced a test, a mental test. That test, I've had that test. This test is something a two-year-old would pass. And I know Stephen Colbert makes fun of Trump's claims about it. And this is very difficult to do. Now that Biden has gotten a real taste of the lies that Trump is going to tell, maybe in September he will do much better. However, right now, some rather chicken-hearted Democrats are saying, oh, Biden should drop out. We need to get somebody else. It's a little late, kids. A little late to have somebody else be the front runner for the party. And who would it be? And, of course, there are various people pushing third and fourth and tenth party candidates. RFK Jr. is not in the running. He couldn't even get into this mess. He doesn't poll well enough to get there, and he's not in on the ballot in enough states. I'm sure some people are still going to push him. Oh, yes, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., let's push him. These are usually also people who subscribe to the conspiracy hoaxes that Kennedy clings to and repeats. God, that guy is a goddamn mental case. And, that's not going to happen. So they should lay off Biden and say, hey, he's our guy. Let's bolster him up and get him ready for how to deal with just this torrent of lies. It's like, you're supposed to be there in the debate, sipping some water. Instead, you get a fire hose directed at your face. How the hell do you deal with that? There are ways of dealing with it. I guess Biden just wasn't able to process fast enough under time pressure. But that doesn't mean he isn't the better candidate. He's not going to do horrible things. And Trump is like trying to walk back, abortion, which
right.
is his fault. He put those three lying justices on the Supreme Court who said, oh, it's established law and it's there and who knows what we would ever do. They were committed to overturning Roe v. Wade before they ever got chosen for this. That's part of why they were chosen for this. They were committed to overturning Roe v. Wade. Those people should not be on the Supreme Court, and neither should Clarence Thomas, busy taking bribes. Anyway, we have this situation now where some people, some chicken-hearted Democrats, say, oh, Joe Biden has to drop out. No, he doesn't, because it's Biden-Trump, and if Biden doesn't get reelected, we are possibly going to lose the United States of America. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So we have the march coming up tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Saturday. It's Sunday, June 30th, the last Sunday in June every year. That's Christopher Street Liberation Day, when the march happens. And as I said last week, I'm not going to be able to march again this year. I'm unable to just walk any number of blocks. Plus, there's no way in hell I could stand around waiting for hours to take off. I think it was last year we noted that the movement groups, which is where I would end up in, those groups didn't even get going in the late afternoon. They had a little problem with covering it on TV in terms of they were supposed to go to a basketball game. There was a technical problem. So they just kept running the Pride March stuff. And none of the movement groups, regular movement groups, showed up. The big ones that have a lot of money, they showed up, of course. They were toward the front of the march. The rabble, relegated to the end of the march. Yes, we would be in the rabble. They never got on TV, and gee whiz, was that on purpose? I think it might be. So I'm not going to be able to march. I would like to, maybe next year I could manage to do that, but not just this particular year. And I was looking through my old notes. I keep some notes from years ago, and I was looking at my notes from 1970 when we had the first march, and oh boy, it was an interesting thing. We had, the New York Times said we had maybe 3,000 people there, which freaked some people out because they didn't know there were 3,000 gay people in the world, and instead you got more than that. The Times underestimated it. Remember, this is the New York Times that refused to use the word gay back then. Homosexual was the word that the New York Times would use. That was it. Anyway, so they we had the march, and I was feeling kind of rootless at that point in June of 1970. I had been out of the Army and out of Vietnam for 7 or 8 months at that point, and not knowing it then, I was just chock full of PTSD, and I can see where, yeah, that's why I was feeling rootless and making note of it at the time of the first march. And oh boy, so we had the march, and I've told before about all the drama around, are we going to get the march to happen? Is everybody going to be arrested? And why GAA was right at the front of this thing, because we were known as the people who, if the cops come in and try to arrest people in drag, GAA is going to fight, and physically. And so we were at the front. And we marched. At the last minute, the police gave a permit. They weren't going to do it, but they saw all these people, and they said, holy hell, we can't have them going on another riot. We had one last year. This will be bigger. And so they let us march. We marched up 6th Avenue. Couldn't get 5th. We marched up 6th Avenue, and GAA set something up, because the plan was to march to Central Park. That's it. It ends there. Well, GAA had some events going on. We had a kiss-in. We had some other things going on. We also had some of the GAA stars blowing joints underneath the GAA banner, which some people were not pleased about. And after that march, the Gay Liberation Front had a dance, and there was an orgy in the back room. I went to that. And then I went to a smaller orgy at the St. Albert Hotel, room 556. I don't think anybody's going to be able to look up the records of who it was who was in room 556 at the St. Albert Hotel in 1970. So I can say that. And we had a tiny, you know, micro orgy there with all the lights on, which I thought, you know, why don't we turn the lights out? Who wants to do all this stuff with the lights glaring at us? But we did. And then I stayed out too late, and I wasn't able to get to Sylvia Rivera's trial the next morning. So I missed it because I just passed out and couldn't get up. Anyway, so, by the way, you know, we mentioned last time, we've seen again the part of that PBS documentary, Disco Soundtrack of a Revolution. And part one has me in it for like, what is that, 2 seconds? And so we saw it again, and we had the sound on this time, and I'm discussing at GAA, I'm talking about the attempt to make it so that there will be an executive order saying, no, the police are not allowed to call people faggots and homos and other pejorative anti-gay slurs. And so that was what we were fighting for then. And so that was what I was talking about with those long sideburns, which is what impressed me about it. So there was that. And by the way, speaking of President Biden, he visited Christopher Street. He visited Christopher Street ahead of the Christopher Street Liberation Day March. He did that. Sunday's the march, and Friday's when he showed up. And he's pardoning what probably amounts to thousands of former service members who were in the military who were convicted under a military law that had made it a crime to engage in sodomy with somebody of the same gender. Actually, the Army says you can't do it with anybody, even females, but gee, how many prosecutions were there? How many guys were thrown out of the Army because they buggered a woman? Well, zero. Anyway, so, yeah, that was really something to punish service members for being gay. And you didn't actually have to be found doing anything. They could just say, we think you're queer. And they would go after you. And you could get nailed on that. You know, you could make all sorts of accusations against people. The Daily News had a piece on this, and that piece said, quote, take the case of Army Colonel Edward Thomas Ryan, whose obituary was published in the Albany Times-Union this month when he died at age 85. At the end of a description about his life and family and military service in Vietnam and afterwards, he wrote, quote, I must tell you one more thing. I was gay all my life, through grade school, through high school, through college, through life. Unquote. He was lucky not to have been caught. They would have, you know, done something to him. And you didn't really need to be caught, as I said, to have them take action against you. I remember sneaking around with other gay GIs in the Republic of Vietnam 55 years ago and going into the bunkers they had set up so that just in case rockets came flying in, you would run into these bunkers made out of sandbags. And, oh boy, the MPs were looking at us at one point. We said, uh-oh, we better get out of here. And the thing is, the MPs had to stay on their station, and they couldn't come up and arrest us. They probably might have thought we were just doing drugs. Doing drugs, they would arrest you for. Maybe you could give them some drugs, and they'd say, get lost. However, if they found you were gay, they were more likely to just arrest you on the spot and beat you up. Unless you were at the Cogido site in Vietnam, which I visited a few times, only officially, and one guy got discovered blowing somebody there by the MPs, and so he ended up having to blow some MPs and getting buggered on the floor of a bunker there. Another story. So that sort of thing was going on 55 years ago in the Republic of Vietnam. We did something last year on this topic of gays in the military and what happened. Pickles thinks it's a pretty good piece. We're going to rerun that. This is about people I knew and stuff that happened, and it's about being gay in the military and getting a bad discharge. By the way, I got a good discharge because I was able to hide well enough. And as regular listeners know, I was a militant gay activist years ago. I was in the Gay Activists Alliance. A lot of those big deal groups that you hear of now, Lambda Legal and even what is now called the National Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, I think they might have a few more letters on there, Task Force, also came out of GAA, although not nicely. I won't get into all of how they ripped us off. And, you know, so there was that and some of those groups. And I was in GAA, and we did ZAPS. We brought the first written gay rights bill. See, gay was the inclusive term then. We didn't have to have LGBT plus, you know, and all of these different, I mean, different people have different numbers of letters. Some of the letters go on a long time. It was gay then. Everybody said, yeah, we're all gay. This is it. So that was it. And we had the first gay rights bill we brought in. We were pushing for marriage, what is now called marriage equality back then, and all of this. And yeah, that's the stuff we were doing. Other people were out, you know, doing supportive things, but being not too organized about it. Anyway, so I was in the middle of all that. And so I remember a whole bunch of things about those days. And I was listening to a snippet on another radio station. Our Paul can listen to another radio station. It was just a little bit. I heard like 30 seconds on another radio station. And they had a piece about a gay veteran who was helping other gay veterans who had gotten bad discharges in the past, trying to rectify that. Because, of course, you can be gay, bisexual in the military now. You can do that. But before that, you had Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was, some people said, no, you shouldn't be able to have that even. And that was where you had to keep it secret. If you kept it secret, they wouldn't throw you out, which was sort of an improvement over the previous thing, which was, if we think you're queer, you're going to get a bad discharge. Literally, that could be it. People who weren't gay at all got bad discharges for homosexuality or something similar to that. And there's a particular code for this, because there are various ways of getting discharged. The important one is an honorable discharge. Okay, you get that. Another one is a dishonorable discharge. There is also a general discharge. There is a discharge for the good of the service, and there are some others. The dishonorable discharge, or that has other flavors to it as well. That one can really hurt. And so, yeah, before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it was a simple thing of, you know, the commander says, are you queer? And if you say no, he'll threaten you with lying to an officer. And you'll be court-martialed and sent to prison for it. And if you say yes, he says, well, then we're going to give you a dishonorable discharge. That scenario has actually happened. It's a little bit foreshortened in the way I tell about it, but that kind of thing has happened in the past. Some people are now able to try and get their bad discharges rectified. And they talked about that a little bit, and that's a good thing. And it reminded me of Wally. I figure I shouldn't give his last name, although I strongly suspect that Wally is no longer with us. He was fairly close to my father's age, and my father would be 100 years old right now. And if Wally were with us, I think he would also be pushing 100 by now. And Wally was in World War II. He was a corpsman, which is the Navy version of a medic. A medic is a guy who goes out and has medical stuff with him, and if somebody gets wounded, he tries to patch them up. Frequently, medics and corpsmen save people's lives, and they get shot at. So while he was a corpsman in the Pacific Theater of Operations of World War II. He didn't talk much about it. He did mention Tarawa. He mentioned Tarawa a little bit. The Battle of Tarawa happened in November 1943. Tarawa is a tiny atoll in the Pacific Ocean. It's one of the small islands that the American military had decided had to be taken. The biggest part of the island is about 2 miles long and less than half a mile wide at its widest. It's basically a sandbar on top of part of a coral reef, and it's surrounded by coral reefs that are still have the water on them. And, of course, America and the Allies were fighting the Japanese Empire at that time, and the Japanese knew that Tarawa was going to be targeted. It was obvious what had to be done, because you had to go to that one before you could get to the next islands, because otherwise you got people in back of you and you get hurt. And so the Japanese spent almost a full year beefing up Tarawa to resist the invasion. And again, it's 2 miles by at most less than half a mile wide. The Japanese commander who was in charge of beefing up Tarawa was an engineer, and he knew how to turn a coral reef with sand on top of it into a fortress. Just before the battle happened, he was replaced by Rear Admiral Keiji Shibazaki of the Imperial Japanese Navy, who told his troops that, quote, "It would take 1 million men 100 years, unquote, to conquer Tarawa, because you've got this small place and it is just full of things, traps, pillboxes, oh, just loads of things, mines, everything you can think of that an engineer, a military engineer, could think of if he has a full year and conscripted, well, slave labor from Korea and other countries coming in to build bunkers, pour concrete, do this, that, and the other thing. So he had almost a year to build this thing into a hellish fortress. And so he figured it would take 1 million men to do it. Well, he said it would take 1 million men 100 years. The battle only lasted a few days. But the 2nd Marines had 1,009 men killed and more than twice that number wounded. The Japanese garrison at the start of the battle had 3,636 men. After the battle, only one officer and 16 enlisted men surrendered. All other Japanese troops were killed in the battle. Wally was a corpsman in that meat grinder, so he saw the dead and the wounded men, mostly very young men. War damages people like nothing else can. A shell goes off right next to you, you can be blown to pieces. That's true. What most people don't know is that if you get shot in like your shoulder, like they show on TV, your arm may end up several yards in back of you. And there are all sorts of wounds you can get. You could probably live without an arm, but if nobody gets to you real fast, you'll bleed out rapidly. Arms, legs, people get cut in half. People get shot. They get shot in the belly. Looks like it's not that bad. However, one of the reasons armies use high-power rifles is because they keep going. They go through the soft tissue. One of the aims is that the bullet will go through your spinal cord. And so war injuries are especially heinous. Wally served in the capacity of a corpsman through the war. When the war was over, Wally was given a bad discharge for being homosexual. Now, Wally was not a butch guy. He was a little bit effeminate. Just a bit, not a lot, a little bit effeminate. I'm not sure is a word that's used anymore. There may be a more politically correct word for it. I don't know if effeminate is politically incorrect. I just don't know. Being looked at as effeminate and not really being needed for the war anymore, the way he was got him targeted, and it's what got him an other than honorable discharge. This affected his ability to get various jobs, especially after World War II, when just about everybody got out with an honorable discharge, and the common thing was, oh, were you in the war? Yes, I was. A lot of places you had to show them your DD-214, which is your discharge papers. And if you had a bad discharge, you had to show it to people if you wanted a job. This meant you were probably not getting that job. This was bad news. Wally and some other gay veterans of World War II were trying to get their discharges changed to something less damning when we were all in GAA together. They had all served, but they were thrown out of the service when the war ended, and they had no rights to veterans' services like health care and education benefits. It's hard to imagine today how damning such a bad discharge was back then. You figure it's 1945, 46, and almost everybody else has an honorable discharge. It's relatively rare to have a bad one, and the other bad ones are usually people who got court-martialed for cowardice or rape or some serious war crime or stealing all the money in the company's treasury or something and stuff like that, instead of, we think you're queer, which was the charge. Anyway, so back then, you know, this was really, really something to have a discharge like that. And it was a time when there was no concept of gay rights. It didn't exist. So there was very little hope of reversing the Navy's bad discharges, which these guys got back then. So this was some pretty terrible stuff, and I was thinking of Wally. And all of the Wallys. So, we have a tradition on this program. We play this piece of music, and here we go. Yeah, that's for Wally and all the other Wallys. So there we go. We've talked about the march and the history once again on our annual Freaking Fag Revolutionary radio program.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is our Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Oh, it sounds like there's a train coming. What kind of a train is it? Is it a freight train? Is it a commuter train? Oh, no. Why, it's the WBAI pitching train. How do we know it's the BAI pitching train? Because we can hear the pitching hobos playing their harmonica on it. Yes, we are the WBAI pitching hobos on the WBAI pitching train. We are here to try and raise money. This is the thing we have to do. WBAI is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. That means we need you to be the sponsors. We need the listeners to be our sponsors. If we can't get listeners to be our sponsors, bad things are going to happen. Hey, some bad things are already happening because we can't pay our goddamn bills. We are asking you, we're not giving the phone number out because apparently there's an issue with the phone number. Plus, there's an issue with there's nobody to answer the phone reliably. So, we are asking you to go to the WBAI website, WBAI.org. When you get there, you're going to see on the page somewhere a small image. It'll be a black dove or just a bird, and it has a green background in back of it. And it says, BAI Buddy, become a sustaining member. And click on that. And you'll be brought to a place where you can become a BAI buddy or just make a one-time donation. If you want to become a BAI buddy, and a BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining memberships. This means you would donate once a month to WBAI. And you could donate $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month, whatever you can afford. If you can afford more than 20, go ahead and do it. And you would donate that on a monthly basis. And so what happens is you go to WBAI.org, you click on that black dove with the green background that says BAI Buddy, become a sustaining member. Click on that and you will go through a number of questions that the secure site will ask you. You will give them your credit card or debit card information. You will tell them how much you want to donate on a monthly basis. Again, $10, $15, $20 a month, that would be so good. And you then tell them what day of the month you want to be billed on so that it comes out of your accounts on a day that's convenient to you. And very importantly, at some point it's going to say, what is your favorite program? We had a staff meeting this past week where some people said, you know, some people are being put off by that because they say, I don't want this to be my favorite program. I just want to donate to it. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't lock you in. The universe isn't noting, this is that person's favorite program. That's just what they call it. It means, what program do you want to donate to? I think they're going to try and change the wording there so that it doesn't put people off like that. Again, I'm sitting here trying not to say the phone number because it doesn't work anymore. So, this is hard to pitch. WBAI.org and click on that dove. I think they need to make a bigger target for you to click on. Anyway, so yes, bigger target. I will bring that up at the next staff meeting. We're going to have a lot of goddamn staff meetings now. And the new management says lots of staff meetings. And so, yes, we need you to go to WBAI.org, click on that too small icon of a dove, and choose back of the book as your favorite program, even if it's not your favorite. If you just want to donate, that's good. You can do a one-time donation when you get to that website, and that works. So please, we need you to do that. We need you to try and do that now. And you could also send in a check and I used to have that written down, and I don't. Whoops, R. Paul screwed that up. All right, yes, you can send it to WBAI, or send it to Back of the Book, care of WBAI, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. See, I can remember some things. And you send it there. Send us a check. Not send the station a check. You can do that for any amount. You can do it for under $10 if you please. And you can send a check to Back of the Book. You can you know how to spell Back of the Book. Care of WBAI, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217.
And how do they make out the check, R. Paul?
Make out the check to Pacifica / WBAI. You have to have Pacifica in there because the banks are all persnickety about the fact that WBAI is a part of the Pacifica Foundation, and in order to cash the check, you need to do that. We had, a couple of years ago, a $5,000 donut to this program, obviously. We had, the station had a $5,000 pledge, and it was a check. And the person sent in the check and went on either a European or an around-the-world trip for a year or more. And the bank wouldn't cash the check because it was made out to just WBAI. So it needs to be made, I want to say, right in Pacifica. Screw it. Write Pacifica in there. And tell them to process it. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to lose the $5,000 either way. And I don't think you get much time if you, you know, that's not forgery. I think the person has to prefer charges for you to get convicted of forgery. And the person, if somebody's going to give us $5,000, they're probably not going to say, hey, they, you know, I want them arrested for correcting the check so they could cash the damn thing. Anyway, Pacifica / WBAI on the check. So, one. Oh, I almost gave the goddamn phone number. WBAI.org, either on your phone or a tablet or a computer, the way we old folks here use it, or some other way, go to WBAI.org. Look for that icon of the dove against a green background. It says BAI Buddy, become a sustaining member. Click on that, and you will be able to donate electronically. Yes, I almost gave the phone number again. Okay, WBAI.org. That's where you got to go. Or else mail a check address the envelope to Back of the Book, care of WBAI, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. On the check in the memo part, you might write for Back of the Book to make sure we get credit for it. Why are you harping on credit, R. Paul? Because they're watching and they're seeing who is going to be able to stay on the air. Now, the original idea had been if we had not raised X amount of money by this program, we were going off the air. However, that management is on administrative leave. New management says the 52-week schedule is gone. And so we are not being told that we have to have this specific goal that we must make or we're off the air. But we do have to make money. We do have to show that we have listeners. So we're asking you, please go to WBAI.org and say you want to support Back of the Book, and you want to keep WBAI on the air and keep Back of the Book on WBAI. And, you know, we bring you science topics. We didn't get to do any this time. It was all political and gay stuff. But, see, gay was the all-inclusive word back then. And so we talked about LGBT plus infinity stuff on this program. Nobody else does a program like this. And we frequently talk about science stuff. Oh, we do science. We talked about the asteroid. That counts as science, I think. We do these things, and we hope that you will help to support this unique radio program and keep it on the air and keep this radio station on the air. Again, WBAI.org. Click on the black dove with a green background where it says BAI Buddy, become a sustaining member and help us out. We really need it. And we thank you. That has been Back of the Book for this week. We're supposed to be back here next week. We hope we are. Coming up next is...
Everything Old is New Again, again with Mr. David Kenny.
David Kenny again. And so, we hope we're back here next week. It's going to be mostly nice, except, yeah, it's supposed to rain on the march. It's a march, not a parade. It's supposed to rain on the march. You know, bring an umbrella if you can get there, if you're not in such bad shape as I am. And enjoy all of that stuff at the end of Pride Month. And above all, remember what that very glad to have gotten out of Vietnam and gone to Christopher Street Dormouse said.
Winding your way down on Baker Street, light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day, drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold.
This is Michael, a BAI buddy from Brooklyn. WBAI, oh, WBAI, you're listening to WBAI. 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Listen and learn. And become a BAI buddy today.
We're in a unique moment here. It's a moment where we have a chance to actually demonstrate our power.
Imhotep Gary Bird, heard on WBAI Friday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m.
I learned from Dr. Walter Fauntroy, who fought with Dr. King in the civil rights movement, that there were five areas that they identified that they felt politics could control and hit. It was health, housing, education, economics, and social justice. The fact is, WBAI is a nexus for the progressive community to make those changes in all of those areas and has been decade after decade. I say to you again, whose station?
Our station!
Whose control?
Our control!
Long live WBAI.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Hi, I'm Michael G. Haskins, your host and radio guide, weekday mornings on WBAI 99.5 FM. During our fundraising and membership drive, the program is the premium. That's right. The program is the premium.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
What happened on
all mixed up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program. Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
The bells of hell go ting-a-ling-a-ling for you, but not for me. Oh, death, where is thy sting-a-ling-a-ling, or grave thy victory?
McDonough John and McCourt Malachy are on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, on Sundays from 11 a.m. Topics, wit, wisdom, wackery, sausages. Join